Merry Christmas, everybody. It is a great joy to be Catholic because we have an octave, right, of Christmas. We have 8 days in which we celebrate the event of Christmas. It's like this one extended Christmas event that ends on New Year's Day, the Solemnity of the Mother of God. And so it's during these days that if I get a chance, I like to go into Walmart and like wish the checkout person Merry Christmas on the 29th or 30th of December and see kind of their, what are you talking about? Christmas is over, right? So it's a beauty to be Catholic. So Merry Christmas and happy almost New Year. On the Sunday after Christmas, we celebrate a beautiful feast. The Feast of the Holy Family of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. When God became man on Christmas, God became part of a human family. And just as Jesus is in the midst of the family of Mary and Joseph, so Christ should be at the center of our families as well, of every human family. That is how important the family is. And that is also why the powers of hell will attack the very concept of the family at its very roots, which is something we experience, it seems like today, on a daily basis just by watching the news. It also points to the fact that we have a great challenge ahead of us to build strong families and strong marriages lived in the grace and the peace and the joy of God. The gospel that we hear today in today's Mass is the presentation of Jesus in the temple. We see Mary and Joseph bringing the baby Jesus to Jerusalem to be presented to God the Father. We see this young family bringing their newborn son to the temple, placing their son before God, consecrating him to the Lord. This feast is very important for us because it gives us an opportunity to reflect upon the beauty and the joy of family life. And there are two aspects of family life in particular that it would be beneficial to reflect upon this morning. The first is that in the family, children first experience God and they learn how to pray. In the family, every person learns how to give and how to receive love. And by experiencing the love of one another, especially by experiencing the love of a mother and the love of a father, children experience what it means to be loved by God. Moreover, children are the fruit of love. When siblings see their parents welcome the gift of new life when a baby is born, children learn what it means to be generous and what it means to be loving, what it means to be life-giving. And it is also in the family that members of the family, especially children, learn how to pray. Especially, and most especially, when they see, their parents praying. There's a very moving story of St. John Paul II. You know, when he was a young man growing up in the early part of the 20th century, St. John Paul II, as a young boy, Karol Wojtyła, as a young boy, would often wake up in the middle of the night and he would observe his father kneeling beside his own bed in silent prayer in the darkness and silence of the night. And St. John Paul II said that that experience of seeing his father pray was his first seminary. His first seminary was seeing his dad pray. And so here it's important for us to emphasize especially in a particular way the role of fathers in the spiritual formation of their children. Now, don't get me wrong, the roles of father and mother are both important and are both necessary. But there is a special meaning to a father's role in the spiritual formation of his children. There was a few years back, there was a secular university, I think it was Rutgers University in New Jersey. They did a study about people, about young people who grew up Catholic, and then a large percentage in their college years tended to fall away from the faith. And then as young adults, they come back to practicing the faith. And they did the study, and in almost all cases, those who came back to the practice of the faith as young adults, they belonged to families in which the father regularly practiced the faith, going to Mass, going to confession. Regardless of whether or not the mother went all those years. And so it's a reality that, yes, both parents are important and necessary. There is a special significance, however, of a father's role to form his children and his family. And St. Paul addresses this in today's second reading. When St. Paul says, "Wives, be subordinate to your husbands, and husbands, love your wives." Now, first of all, we have to understand what subordinate is not, okay? First of all, it is not like a kind of servile obedience. It's not that. It's not this slavery. It's not this, yes, master. It's not that kind of stuff, okay? But St. Paul, in another part of the New Testament, uses the word submissive. He says, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives." Now, what does the word submissive mean? Submission is the conjunction of two Latin words, sub, which means under, and missio, which means mission. And so when he says, "Wives, be submissive to your husbands," he's saying, "Wives, be under the mission of your husband." And what should the mission of a Christian father and husband be? The only thing is to get his family and to bring his family to heaven. And so it is a very good thing, a very beautiful thing, that a family be united to the mission of the husband and the father, whose mission it is to lead his wife and children to the gates of heaven. It's beautiful. Last but not least, first, a family is where we learn to give and to receive love. It is where we learn how to pray. And thirdly, it is where young people learn how to be open to God's will. Because the family is where children learn how to be generous and they learn how to pray, it's also where we learn how to hear the voice of God and how to answer it. In the family, family members, especially children, learn what it means to be truly open to God's will. When I was growing up, I knew that when I was growing up, that whether or not I became a husband and father, or whether or not I became a priest, I knew it was a privilege. I knew that my parents would be happy. I knew that it didn't matter if I got married. I dated all the way through high school. I really thought I was going to be married. I knew that whether I got married or whether I became a priest, I knew that what was most important for my parents was only that I was obedient to God's will, was that I did God's plan for me. Because I realized how fortunate I was in that regard, because when I went to seminary, some of my friends in seminary, their parents were completely opposed to them going to seminary or becoming priests because they wanted grandchildren. These parents, they put their own desires before the will of God. And by doing so, they placed themselves like as an obstacle to their son's salvation. So the beautiful thing about about family life, about our families, is that they should foster openness and joy. Because the family helps children to discern. When they see the marriage of mom and dad, or they see the priest, or they serve at the altar with father, they come into contact. They come into contact with what is marriage and what is priesthood or what is religious life. And when they come into contact with these things, and if they know that they have the support of their parents, that it's not necessarily what mom and dad want for me, but it's what God wants for me. It is then that there's this freedom. There's this freedom and joy to say yes to whatever God wants for me. And so, in a sense, families are called to do what Mary and Joseph did for Jesus in today's gospel. They simply, they welcome their son with joy, and they gave him back to God. They present him to the Lord. And they allowed their son to do the Father's will. They allowed him to follow his vocation, to be the Son of God and to be the Savior of the world. And so, friends, on this feast of the Holy Family, let us just very practically, especially as we make New Year's resolutions, perhaps these could be two very good ones. The first is to pray as a family, and to really spend some serious moments in prayer as a family. Something more than just prayers before and after meals. While those are good, it's only a beginning. But to spend real time in contemplation of maybe God's word, reading scripture, or praying the rosary as a family. Really spending some quality time together in prayer. And secondly, praying for the vocations of your children, of your grandchildren, of your nieces and nephews, whoever those young people are. Praying for their vocations, and in a particular way, entrusting their vocations to the Blessed Mother. That their vocations may be protected, right? You know, it's tough. It's tough to grow up in today's world. Pray that their vocations may be protected so that they may learn how to pray and learn to listen to God's voice and learn to say yes to his will. If children and grandchildren know, if they know and they are aware that I have my parents and family members' support, not necessarily what they want me to do, but what God wants me to do. This will foster a freedom and a true openness. And so today, let us ask that Jesus, just as Jesus was in the midst of the Holy Family, God's presence was the very center of their lives, may the presence of Christ also be the center of our family lives as well. God bless you. Merry Christmas and Happy New Year.